The Justice Department estimates that more than 650,000 young people are involved in criminal gangs, and that gang members committed more than 3,000 homicides in 1995. Politicians and the news media sometimes portray these young people as irredeemable lawbreakers who'll either end up in jail or die young. Minnesota Public Radio's John Bewin reports on one program in the Twin Cities area that helps gang members go straight.
Boys Totem Town, a correctional facility for juveniles in St. Paul, is a kind of transition point between the county's juvenile jail and freedom. About 70 teens are here at any one time. They have misdemeanor and felony records. Counselors say at least half of them have some connection with a youth gang. St. Paul is what experts call an emerging gang city. Police say gang members are moving here from bigger cities to sell drugs, and local kids are getting involved or forming their own gangs in increasing numbers.
Got a 5-point star with a B in the middle of it for blood.
A 16-year-old we'll call Nick describes the prominent gang tattoos on his arms and hands. He says he joined the Bloods when he was 10. Nick describes himself as half Chicano and half white. His gang is racially integrated. Nick is locked up for burglary this time. He says he's used drugs often and sold them sometimes. He says he fired a gun once during a shootout with a rival gang. He doesn't know if he hit anybody.
A couple of my homies died recently. And it's hard to take, but it's life too. If you're going to represent your hood, it's going to happen.
Totem Town's program of intensive schooling and counseling is designed to give young men like Nick a fresh start by helping them repair their frayed connections with their families and schools. And in fact, most do. Totem Town Superintendent Frank Hosh says for most kids who get involved, criminal gangs are a rite of passage, not a lifelong choice.
The vast majority of the kids that come into contact with the correction systems, it will have an impact on them. They will leave it and they'll never return. But there are a significant and a concentrated segment of serious offenders that cause an inordinate amount of crimes and continue to move on in the system.
Nick appears ambivalent about which path to take. Like many gang members, he's from a troubled, low-income family. He says his mother is an alcoholic and drug addict who's been mostly absent since he was small. He says the Bloods gave him what he needed.
They respected me. They gave me money, and when I ran away from home or something, they gave me a place to live. They treated him like family.
But Nick admits his gang family is held together by fear as much as by love. Nick says he'd like to quit the gang. He wants a normal life, to work for his grandfather's roofing business and walk the streets without worrying about bullets. But he's not prepared to tell his fellow gang members he wants out.
They laugh at me. If you try getting out, going on your own, they look for you. Or if that happened to catch up to you, you get probably get beat down or even shot for disrespecting your own gang.
The deeper you are, the higher you are in rank, because there is a ranking system within the gangs, the harder it is to make that decision.
The Reverend Devin Miller works with African-American teenagers in St. Paul. He directs a nonprofit group called Collaborative Movement for Improvement. Miller contends that given their sense of alienation from the mainstream, most gang members only get more defiant in the face of condemnation from police and politicians. Instead, Miller tries to provide friendly guidance and a way out of gangs, even if that means driving a young man out of town.
We've had to move them out the crack of dawn to the midnight hour and take routes and all this, you know. And I'm sitting there going like, you know, I did not dream of this when I was, you know, going to school and got into the ministry. But that's what it takes. I mean, for young people to know that you're willing to do that.
Miller goes into several St. Paul high schools every week. He teaches a voluntary, non-credit course exclusively to black teens. The course covers various aspects of African-American life, past and present, but Miller spends several sessions talking about gangs. One study estimates 47% of the nation's youth gang members are black, 43% are Latino, 6% Asian, and 4% white. Miller stresses most black students are not involved in gangs or crime, but he hopes to reach a few who are involved and alter the image of gangs among as many kids as possible.
What music do y'all listen to?
R&B and rap.
I listen to country.
Okay, what kind of rap?
hip-hop. Reality rap.
Reality rap. What is the reality in most rap?
Miller's discussions on gang culture are especially relevant at the Area Learning Center, an alternative high school for kids who've been kicked out of other schools because of truancy or discipline problems. Several of the 20 or so students in Miller's class say they're gang members. Miller tells them he understands the attractiveness of gangs for young blacks who have troubled families, few recreational choices, and deep doubts that education will guarantee a good job in what they see as a hostile white society.
Okay, so now I get you in, I give you a sense of family, I become that male figure in your life, okay? I give you something to do. You don't need no education, you don't need no college degree. You can make twice as much, three times as much doing this than going to college.
But then Miller seems to catch some of his students off guard. Okay. He says while gang members who shoot at each other and sell drugs to their neighbors may think they're thumbing their noses at the system, in fact, they're letting the system trick them into self-destruction.
Are you willing, not are you able, are you willing to say no to the easy way of making money and do it the hard way? Are you willing to do that? Don't answer.
A few of the students challenge Miller. An 18-year-old gang member named Michael says in the inner city, selling drugs is the only way to make money.
I said, what about the young ones that want some money? Their parents ain't got it, but they ain't old enough to work no job, though. Their mama can't afford to put a pair of Nike shoes and a pair of something on, you know what I'm saying?
Answer this. Answer this. What put the thought in that young person's mind that they needed a pair of Nikes?
The first time they seen that commercial.
That's what I'm talking about!
So what you saying? Stop watching TV?
No, no, no! Listen! Understand who's playing and understand who's being played.
Why Nikes cost so much?
Though Michael resists some of Reverend Miller's arguments, he says he is convinced that gangs and crime are a dead end. Michael joined the Gangster Disciples on his 14th birthday. Now, after getting expelled for repeated fights in school, he's trying to finish his high school degree.
Me running around here gangbanging, beating up on people, this ain't going to help me when I'm 30, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to still be doing this, living with mom or something, you know what I'm saying? That's not going to work. You're going to have a job. You're going to have something, some kind of something to get you to point B, you know what I'm saying? You already started off at point A, you know what I'm saying? You're trying to get to B and C and on down the alphabet, you know what I'm saying?
Michael has not officially quit the Gangster Disciples. He's still close with some young men in the gang. Instead, he says he's gradually become less active, showing up less often on the streets and at gang meetings. He says because he doesn't renounce them or act superior, his fellow gang members are letting him go without punishment. But the rules of retirement can vary by city, neighborhood, and ethnicity. Long Vang, a youth counselor with Hmong American Partnership in St. Paul, says in Minnesota's Southeast Asian gangs, members are allowed to quit if they get married.
We have 14 and 15-year-olds who are getting married. I don't know if that's the reason, but you know, to me it seems obvious and the right thing to do if they want to get out of gang.
Justice Department studies in Rochester, New York, and Denver found the average gang member stayed for only a year. At the same time, the government says gang membership has grown nationwide by more than 100,000 since 1993. In other words, for every young person who graduates from a gang, more than one joins. Some experts call for more social spending. Others say it's up to families to rein in problem kids and teach better values. Michael, the semi-retired gangster disciple in St. Paul, says he grew up in a loving family with high expectations. But even as a small child, he saw that gangsters had special status in his school and neighborhood.
I'll tell you the truth, I think people took me more for not a chump, you know what I'm saying, just but a quiet person, somebody that just wouldn't do nothing, you know what I'm saying? And then when they seen me out on the street or hanging and banging, you know what I'm saying, they was like, damn, you know what I'm saying? And we had power, you know what I'm saying? Because when we stepped in the room, you know what I'm saying, people, if you was talking bad about us, you shut your mouth.
Devin Miller of St. Paul's Collaborative Movement for Improvement says youth gangs will keep finding recruits as long as street culture and popular culture send the message that being feared is the same as being respected. And he says families and neighborhoods need to find ways of giving young people a sense of belonging and acceptance that many kids now believe they can find only in gangs. For National Public Radio, I'm John Bewin in St. Paul.